Hello, this is the National Finance Committee meeting for Monday, August 22. This is Marnie Tattersall acting as chair pro tem for just a little while, and Casey McFaul is our secretary, and we're ready to start. We should start with roll call, please, Casey.
Okay, Dave Adelson.
Here.
Risa Allen.
Here.
Rudy Bediaco. Jane Gatewood?
Here.
Patty Heffley?
Here.
Casey McFaul is here. Mark Roberts? Marnie Tattersall?
Here.
Sandy Weinman?
Yes.
He's asked her to be excused.
LaVarne Williams?
Present.
And Lonnie Hicks?
Here.
We have a quorum.
And may I ask, is Ambrose joining us today?
Yeah, he said he would. Let me give him a call.
And while Lonnie's making that call, Casey, would you care to tell us about the results of the chair election, please?
Yes, we received 11 ballots from 11 committee members. The ballots were opened and counted at the KPFK LSB meeting by myself and witnessed by two other people. And the chair of the committee is David Adelson.
Great. Congratulations, Dave. Take it away.
Okie dokie. Hold on. I've got to get to a couple of files. But from memory, I know that we agreed the first item that we were going to deal with was the divided first portion of Lonnie's motion concerning how a budget was going to be developed. And if you give me just a moment, I will get back to the agenda that you sent out, Marnie, and I'll have that in just a moment, and we'll do that. If you could just refresh my memory, is there something before? Here we go, draft agenda. Roll call, excuse of absences, approval of minutes. Do we still have approval of minutes to do? Do we have minutes to approve?
No, we don't.
Okay, before we do that, let's approve the agenda.
Approve the excuse of Sandy Weinman?
Sure, and Mark Roberts. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Any objections or any discussion? Any objections? Okay, hearing none, Mark and Sandy's absences are excused. The next thing, let's have a approval of the agenda. The agenda that Marnie sent has the approval of the August 16th minutes, then the motion by Hicks, the motion on the budget process policy, then the review and discussion of June 5 actuals and forecasts for the balance of 05, discuss the status and update of working groups and schedules, which is to include the interco transfer policies and related, the special national fundraising for year end of 05, and surplus and reserve policies. Then review the proposed preliminary national budget in detail.
Do you have these numbered?
Yes, they were numbered. I'm reading. The approval of minutes was numbered 4. The motion to be continued was numbered 5. The review and discussion of June financials is 6. The status and update of working groups is 7. The review of the proposed preliminary national budget is 8. Scheduling in the next meeting is 9. And an adjournment to executive session is 10. I am concerned about our being able to get through all this, but that is the agenda as proposed.
Let's go.
And then, let's see, it was, Dave, it was, Baruti asked that we add one thing to the agenda. He said WBAI recently received a notification that we are being allocated $119,000 plus of pre-2003 legal fees, which we were not previously aware of. Other stations were probably allocated a proportionate share. Can this be added to the agenda?
Lonnie can comment on it quickly as a question. I'm concerned about adding it as an agenda item just because I don't think we're going to get through the agenda as it exists.
Is something that should be added to the executive session anyway?
No, I don't think so. There's nothing into the allocation of legal expenses isn't a confidential issue, I don't believe. Lonnie, are you here?
Yeah, there are some confidential aspects to it.
Okay, but the issue of allocation to individual stations, just as a question?
Well, yeah, that's true, but for those of you on the Finance Committee, I would say, and when you look at your June balance sheets, that there are tabs below that contains the details of legal allocation, and some of that information is confidential.
Okay, but his question was pre-2003.
Yeah, it's in there, too.
Okay. All right, well then... we will.
So that that balance sheet and those things are not to be shared per our agreement.
Okay.
Because it's got tabs in it that have detail.
Okay. Duck. Okay. So shall we put this in the executive session?
Yeah.
Actually, there is an item in here that says other executive session items, and so I'll add to that Baruti's question related to legal allocations to stations. Okay. Is there anything else? I believe KPFK, and I don't recall whether we've done it in a previous meeting already, we had a motion to be put forward regarding bill procedure on billbacks. Is that in old business? Do people recall, Casey? Has that been put forward to the committee yet?
It was put forward to the committee. It hasn't been discussed, as neither have any of our other motions that have been put forward to the committee.
Well, I'm not prepared to do billbacks today.
Yeah,
that's detail.
Okay, well, I think it's related, and we can raise it during the section on inter-unit transfer policy, because it is a form of that. So,
this is Patty.
Yeah, go ahead, Patty.
Is there anywhere on here that I could ask Lonnie a question about the hacking of the Pacifica National office?
Yeah, I'd like to answer that up front, so that you folks will be aware of what's going on.
All right, then why don't we start, why don't we add to this a brief CFO report of not more than 10 minutes prior to considering the motion, and we can deal with it there. Is that all right?
Sounds good to me.
Is that okay with you, Lonnie?
Yeah.
Okay, so it'll be just 10 minutes to deal with those issues, and then we'll move forward. Does anybody have any objections to doing that?
Going up front?
Yeah, going up front right after we deal with the approval of minutes.
Yeah, I think that's important. I've been reluctant to speak about it, but I think that I need to.
Okay, so that's the first I've heard of this. So we'll make that item 5A, and we'll make item 5B to the motion that you put forward that was divided, and then the first half table. So is there any objection to accepting this agenda as modified? Okay, then let's go ahead. Do we have the let's see, it says approval of 8:16 minutes copied below. So we have those. Is there a motion to accept the minutes?
I don't think we have those.
I think that's a goof on my part. Sorry.
Okay, we don't have them. Then is there a motion to table approval of 8:16 minutes until our next meeting?
I move.
Okay, Teresa moved it. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Okay, approval of minutes for 8:16 is tabled to our next meeting. Next is CFO report, 10 minutes. Will somebody offer to keep time?
What kind of time do we want to keep?
Greenwich
10 minutes.
Standard?
Okay, I've got 10 minutes. I got a little timer right here.
Okay.
Starting now.
Great, thanks. Go ahead, Lonnie.
Well, CFO report. Well, you know, I had sent out a summary of where we stand. I don't need to go over that. I made them short so people would read them, and I sent out the detail for those that want the detail. But before I do the report, I wanted to make this committee aware of an issue that's been with us for a while, and that is outside evidence that email and other viral attacks are a problem at the network. Well, we did 8-9 months ago is we had a computer person come in and take the viruses out of all our machines. We looked at our FTP server. We looked at our accounting server, because we have a number of servers we operate with, and it fouled us up. And we then had to fix the problem. I don't like to research too much about it because I don't want to encourage this kind of thing. But the latest version is one where someone has email addresses where particular people on my staff are getting emails from themselves with attachments that have viruses. So someone has hacked the address books, the email address books, and getting out from those with using those email addresses, emails that have attachments that create viruses. So I'm saying, do not open up, even if you recognize the name of the person, anything with attachments unless you're sure it's okay. I've got an attachment which things from Ambrose that say things like contract. And the temptation is to open it up because it sounds legitimate. But it is an issue. The WBAI server was also hacked. So we have some people who are hacking our national servers, both on the website and also at the national office, because it's a surprise to get an email from yourself and with an attachment that can cause problems. We have pretty good virus protection, but occasionally one gets through, because you get an email many times from someone you know, and it attachment looks legitimate. Sometimes people have opened them up, and then we're on another round robin. So be aware. And we're trying to work out a protocol about how to tighten things up other than the protections we already have in place, and we're always looking for more. So anyway, that said, last time it caused some problems with the finance files. And larger files are more vulnerable than smaller files to boot. Anyway, on my report, two or three things I'd like to say up front. The FY06 budgets are not ready for review. We'll be looking at the June reports. But I'd like to quickly, I've already done so in my emails, on my email update, to say none of the FY06 budgets are quite complete, although, well, that's to say we haven't received signed approvals, although I am aware that certain stations are far along in the process. And maybe we can do a round robin to see which LSBs have approved their budgets and which ones are not, so that we on the committee can get a sense of when we need to next meet to review those approved budgets from the LSBs, that being the next order of business for us to do. So FY06 is not ready. So I'll move on to June financials. And in my report that I did, you can see pretty much what I had to report on where we will look, at least from my point of view, trying to do forecasts for this fiscal ending September 30th, 2005. And it's different for each of the different different stations. Now,
Lonnie, I just need to clarify one thing. When you sent this around, it said mini June report. This report says that it's September 30th, 2005. This is how each station will finish the fiscal. And then there's a series of numbers. Is that the year total? And what line item does it refer to? Is it the excess income line? Is it which line is it in our budgets that you're reporting there?
I'm reporting the variance report, that is, how close each station at September 30th will come to the budgeted bottom line. That would be the
surplus deficit before depreciation?
Surplus deficit after cash and capital. Bottom line. So if you look at the bottom line of each one of these.
So is it, for example, the consolidated, is that line 198?
Well, that's line 198, yes, if you want the total number, which would be the 660.
Okay, but for KPFA, for example, we're talking about line 344.
Yeah, I'm not there, but yes, they would be.
And okay,
would
the very last line. Great, thank you.
Yeah, that's where those numbers are coming from.
I think in the future, if you note that is the line that's being reported, it'll help.
I've been reporting it that way for a while, but I'd be happy to accommodate that's what is where we'll go, which line is being reported. It is reporting the annual September 30th forecast for each station at that point where your budget's being compared to the projected actual September 30th, and you're being given a variance there.
But it can't. How can it be the annual number? These look like a monthly numbers, not annual numbers.
Well, because what my report includes is a forecast of September 30th, a rolling forecast. Each month, what I do is not only give you, there are five reports here. Maybe it might be useful to go over those right with the financials as you have them now, so that we, for the benefit of those that are not on the call, at least when they look at it, they can see what's being given them. Okay?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do these numbers take into account the planned August special drive that's been in the planning stages, August-September special drive?
For which station?
Well, are they reflected anywhere? Is that reflected anywhere in these numbers?
Yeah, the WBAI July drive is reflected in these numbers. And T's particular plans, when they created them, are reflected in these numbers. K's drive, they finished, is reflected in these numbers. So, yeah, if that's one of the purposes of it. Let me just, if I could, show you where those numbers are.
No, but I was talking about the special drive that's coming up, the rainy day fund or whatever.
Oh, the rainy day fund drive. No, actually at this point, no, it is not in here.
Okay.
And that would be in the July report when their plans have, we're meeting again this week, have gelled to the point where, you know, we can feel that the dollars will come in, and in what and how much. So no, thank you for that question. The answer is no, it's not in here yet. When this was done in, you know, in June, July, when I have more information, I reflect it. Or I can just do a special. Okay.
Okay. Great. Thanks. Go on.
Well, let me just try to start with June in the large, and then go to detail. What this report is saying, and I'll go through where I'm reading from so people can follow along with me. There are five different reports that are put out each month in this income statement. The one is the current month, and that would be the one beginning with A column, A, B, C, D. Gives you your current month. And then beginning with column S, you would have your current YTD. That is to say, where you stand as a station from the beginning of the fiscal to whatever month we're looking at in the case of this one, through the third quarter. And that's called the current YTD, and that's AGAH, and the actual is given in column S, and then the variances are AH and AI. And then what I call the forecast columns begin. That begins with column AK. And what it does is that it tries to forecast what the coming months for a given station, or for the network for that matter, will bring in revenue and expense. And that's pretty standard in most organizations. You not only want to know what the current month is or the current YTD, but you want to, especially in a seasonal business, and we are a seasonal business, that our income is uneven, where you'll end up at the end of the fiscal. And you want to always keep that end goal in mind. Because while in the current YTD scenario, you look great on paper. Revenue exceeds expense, and it always does at Pacifica in the third quarter. But the months following May, June, July, August, September, October are long months where revenues are much reduced. And you need to forecast what those months will bring so that you can have a sense of where you end up. So that column, future amount computed at report date, AK, AL, AM, and AN, are your forecast columns. It projects what your revenue or expense will be over the remainder of the fiscal, what the budget is for the remainder of the fiscal, and what that variance might be. The final column, BA, columns BA and BO, is the YTD plus the forecast, and that will give you actual and budget, maybe it should say forecast so people won't get confused. And that is line 198 for the consolidated. That is after cash and capital. And in this case, it says that we will actually have an excess surplus before depreciation of $896,000. against a budget of $1.5 million, creating a variance of $660,000. And we wanted to have 1 month or so as our budgeted amount, our budgeted target. But we will not have the 1 month. We'll have 896 or 900,000, and we'll miss our target by 660. Now, people ask, what does that mean? Is that good?
Hello? Excuse me, Patty, here. Time's up.
All right.
What do you think in terms of time needed to finish this, Lonnie? How much
time? Well, I want to do two or three cautionary tales. And just give me, five more minutes.
Let's say 10 for that plus the questions.
Four. Sure.
Is that okay with people?
Fine.
Any objection to extending 10 minutes? Okay. Thanks, Patty. Can you time us another 10?
Yep. Hitting the button.
I'm everybody. Now, two things stand out in the budget. People ask whether or not this is okay or not okay. I would refer them to the April auditor's report. It's on Pacifica.org, and there's a transcript of his comments on this, saying we need at least $1,200 to $1,300 at the end of each fiscal. That's 1 month's working capital. So we need at least $1.2 million. We had budgeted $1.5 million. We're only going to get $900,000. And that is the working capital he recommends. It's the driver behind the board's recommendation. So we're going to be short this fiscal by that $660,000. Now, how do we look this year? In order for some of the stations to get to that 1 month's working capital, they have had to use funds from prior years. That would be KPFA. And those prior year dollars are in the budget in the capital and cash and capital section. And when you look at surplus prior year, you can see the assumptions that are made in terms of how much of prior year reserves or prior year monies or prior year surpluses each station was using to order to bring its budget, balance its budget in the current operating year. KPFA, for example, under column BA, $342,340,000 to balance out to the 1 month.
It was budgeted at zero.
Budgeted at zero?
Yeah. Line 332. The annual total says 340. Budget was, it says zero.
Under BA 344, that would be 356, but 332 is where the assumption around use of prior year funds in this budget is made. Now, I'll end on this note. This committee and the board, and maybe I should make it more clear, here in the budgets, some stations may not be able in current year to balance out to the 1 month. And what's budgeted in is the assumption that they will use some funds they have on hand at the beginning of the year to balance out in the current year, and that they will, on the next year, either replace those funds or they will somehow make them up in that following year receipts. So that's an important section. And when the board passes the budget and we recommend it, you should know how much each station is planning to use in that column. BA, in this case, for consolidated BA 332. So anyway, that's in a nutshell, is the projection of how we might end up this fiscal, in my view.
Lonnie, one question. When you're showing negative numbers in that surplus prior year column, is that considered a payment back into cash reserves?
Well, no, that's a payment drawdown against cash reserves. That is to say, that's how much of the cash reserves from prior year that station is planning or did use in order to balance the budget for that month.
So that shows up as a negative number.
The negative number is a subtraction against expense. If you take it out, that would be, in this case, in A's case, a real difference in the bottom line for them.
Okay, questions?
Well, this is really a discussion about the
financials.
Number six, item six, right?
Right.
Should
right.
we hold our questions for
I think that's a good idea. I think it's a great idea. Why don't we move to the next agenda item, if there's nothing more general about the CFO's report? Okay, let's do that then. So the next item on the agenda is the motion.
This is Patty?
Yes, Patty.
Well, before we move on, just can I ask Rowani a question?
Sure, if it's about his report and yes, not about the June financials, yeah.
No, it's about the report. I just want to say hacking is different than viruses. And, you know, we have to check our firewalls and things like that, but actually, you know, hacking is a whole other term that has to be kind of almost respected because, like, I mean, we have a radio show in New York, which is a hacker show, and we're constantly taught that hacking is a way of finding information and finding ways to find information. And what we are being, and what's happening to us is that we're getting viruses because we don't have good firewalls. And there's common that in Microsoft, if that's what we're using, that these worms and things go in and grab our grab people's email addresses to send things. This is nothing to do with hacking. This is viruses, and these are like it's a different thing. So I wish we wouldn't use that negative issue on a word hacking, because we were not hacking is a deliberate coming in. And, you know, through social engineering or some other way to precisely come after us. And I don't really believe that that's what happens. So I would just like that we keep clear on what hacking is. And this is not, we have viruses because we're using, I suppose, Microsoft, which is probably not very helpful to that. That's all.
Oh, okay.
All right, then let's move on. The motion that we were considering last time was the motion by Hicks that the GMs, in collaboration with the CFO and the ED, are responsible for creating the annual station budgets. These budgets are presented to the...
Generating would be my language.
Pardon me?
I think generating was the original language.
It may be. Okay, I'll replace that. That was just what Marnie sent around.
All right, that's okay.
Generating, I'll change it to that. That the GMs, in collaboration with the CFO and the ED, are responsible for generating the annual station's budgets. These budgets are presented to the LSBs for discussion and input in order to present finished budgets for review and approval by the LSBs. Okay, so that was the motion that we now are taking off the table. Is there discussion?
Well, can I speak to it, or if I could, just briefly?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that we did, as you know, just for people who weren't listening to the last NFC meeting. And this addresses the issue of the budget process, the order in which the budget is presented, generated, approved, and reviewed. And this motion tries to clarify what has been, in my view, common, what the practice has been. Practice has been that the GMs start to look at the operational budget, including everything from salaries to line items. And then in consultation with the ED, the CFO, LSBs, whoever, begin the process of creating the first draft. Let's call them drafts, that maybe will be helpful, of a budget. That draft is reviewed by anyone who, maybe staff in some cases, are involved in some stations. Unions are involved in some stations. Then the second stage in this motion presumes that once that budget has been reviewed, then it goes to the LSB in a formal presentation way where the details can be discussed and people can ask questions. Then the LSB has an opportunity to look at the budget, make suggestions, and maybe say they want to change the budget. Then it goes back to the GM. There's an iterative process. Once the LSB has agreed and and signed off on a budget, that's the case we're looking for, signed approval, as we did it last year, it goes on to the Finance Committee. That's us. And the Finance Committee in this process would review the budgets and has the discretion to accept the budgets, or in my view in this process, can send the budget back to the station for review, clarification, and hold off on simply rubber stamping it through to the PNB. I think it's important to preserve the power and the function of this committee. Finally, I'm just giving the intent of this motion, the board would have its opportunity to review all budgets. And it has full discretion to change, request change, alter, or otherwise, make alterations to budget and has the discretion to choose to accept a given budget or not accept a given budget. So I'm just trying to be as clear as possible about the intent around the motion that I'm presenting. So
Okay. I just want to clarify that the second part of that procedure, the part about everything that happens after an LSB passes a budget, was the subject of a motion that was already passed by this committee. So that piece of it, detailing that, is already concluded business. Unless somebody wants to move, who voted on the prevailing side wants to move to reconsider it. The question before us is this process. Is there discussion on it?
This is Casey.
Go ahead, Casey.
I think that if there are stations who feel comfortable with this process, that's perfectly fine for them to follow it. But I think that putting it into a motion that makes it so rigid makes it difficult for some stations, for example, ours at KPFK, in which our budget was put together by our committee and our GM together as a partnership. Our GM, our business manager, our finance committee, and listeners all worked together in several long meetings to put that together. And the reason I feel that's important is because what we're talking about is listener-governed radio. And we're talking about listeners and local boards being able to be completely involved in the entire process rather than just reviewing what's been presented to them by management, asking questions, and then sending it back, which, I think, sending it back makes it more difficult. But if we all work together in a way that we know what all of our goals are, from listeners to staff all the way on up, it's worked very well for us, and it's been a good process so far. And I think that memorializing something like this in this particular motion almost cuts that process out. It cuts listeners out from the beginning.
Jane, I'd like to speak.
Were you done, Casey?
Yes, thank you.
Jane?
The way it's described here is the way that it worked for us this year, and it's certainly fine, because certainly we do hold our general manager. I mean, it's his primary response. He's responsible for getting this all together. And when he was late, it created problems for us. So clearly, we expected him to be there and to get between him and the business manager to get it on time to us for discussion. You know, we were assuming that he was working this out in collaboration with the CFO and ED. But when it came to the vote, it was obvious that it really it wasn't the ideal way, because the board, there's just too much education that was required at that point, and especially it being August when we have to do these things. I mean, in discussion with other people, we said, well, ideally our committees are going to start looking at this seriously every quarter. We want to see those quarterly reports, and we want all of our committees to look at them and talk about them. There is a big discussion locally about shifting some things around. We didn't shift it, because we basically did respect the awareness and knowledge of the staff that put it together. But I think I would support Casey's expression of it, that there's no particular need to memorialize this particular formula, because this is what's in. I mean, this is the way it will happen if nothing better happens. And I think that perhaps Lonnie's concern is, perhaps the reason for wanting to propose this is just to make sure that there's clear, clearly stated lines of authority and responsibility. But I don't think that this motion really, I don't think it does anything. That's my personal opinion.
If no one else would like to speak, I would.
Oh, I would like to speak.
Go ahead, Marnie. And did I hear LaVarne too?
Yes.
Okay, Marnie, then LaVarne, then I'll like to go.
I've
I'm surprised to hear that this isn't the process being followed at all the stations. So thank you, Casey and Dave, for enlightening me that it's done differently at KPFK. I would have thought this was fairly normal. I mean, we are not management, and the general managers are accountable for their stations. These are their jet budgets. They have ultimate, in my opinion, responsibility to prepare them, get them approved up and down the chain, and then implement them and be held responsible for the results. And I think this is a very important first step. I believe that is what we did last year at KPFA. It is what we're doing this year. Getting LSBs involved every month along the way or every quarter along the way to monitor forecast results, to me, is a separate issue from how the budgets are built. And I think that I totally support the way this is, and I can't imagine any other way. Thank you.
LaVarne?
Yes, yes. Hello.
Hi.
Yes. Okay. I think that in terms of, I think that, you know, we're kind of like motion happy here. That, you know, certain things are part of process procedures should be part of processes outlined and generally accept that. But to put into a motion like detailed process operational things are a little bit overwhelming, and I think basically gets us into trouble and does not allow some stations that perhaps have more listener input to actually, you know, be them, to actually have them not in compliance with motions that are passed by the PC. So that's basically my position, and I said again to I'm just trying to understand what would be the purpose of the motion.
Okay, I'd like to speak. The issue for me is sort of, it's what Marnie said, but I'm in a different place than she is. In my view, the role of the executives is not to essentially decide all the spending priorities, present it to the board and get a check off, but to actually work with the board to implement the joint funding priorities and do it in a way such that it's consistent with existing policy, fiscal responsibility, and the rest. I see, for example, the CFO's responsibility as being making sure that the budgets are executed according to the way they're passed, that they meet with all existing resolutions of the board, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you have a process where the executives generate a budget and then they present it for passage to the LSBs, the LSB's role is reduced primarily to bystander or rubber stamp, in my opinion. At the time at which they're presented, there's no time to do any meaningful work. So to me, this motion actually undermines what, to me, was the entire substance of the struggle for listener governance, and again, sidelines the board. I think that the proper way to do it is for the management, the general manager, prior to initiating the budget process, to meet with the local board and discuss priorities on both sides for the coming year and to come to some agreements about how those priorities will be reflected in the budget. And I think that every station should have the latitude to work out the way that it wants to do that. And so I think that a superior motion is that the station general manager will work collaboratively with the local station board and the national office in developing the station's annual budget. Now, I think that people may be concerned, well, what does it mean? If there are two masters, how do you get anything done? But I agree with LaVarne that, you know, some of that stuff, you know, to do it as a motion may be overkill. As I said, I think there should be consultation with the local board as to priorities. Then, in our case, we had the finance committee meet regularly with the manager as the thing was being developed. It was certainly the manager's responsibility to develop it. Certainly, she was in contact with the CFO, but I don't, for example, think it appropriate for the CFO to be making decisions about, for example, whether you're going to spend money on training or on stringers or on, you know, how you're going to allocate the funds that you have to meet the priorities of the station. I think that's got to be collaborative. So I'm not going to do it just yet, but because I want to hear more thoughts on this, but I will shortly propose that the station general manager will work collaboratively with the local station board and the national office in developing the station's annual budget.
I'd like to go on the stack to try to rebut, although I don't remember all your points.
Lonnie on the stack.
Okay, Lonnie, then Marnie, anyone else?
Well, I heard Teresa.
Can you hear me, Patty?
Okay, since Teresa hasn't spoken yet, I'd like to go to her.
Can you hear Patty?
And then we're going to have... Patty, have you spoken yet on this?
She has not.
Okay, then let's do Teresa, Patty, Marnie, Lonnie, and who else was there?
Casey.
I would, again, if it's
and
not
Jane.
Me.
Okay, and I'll just put myself there, because by the time we come back, I'll be ready to talk again. Okay, Teresa.
Hey, I agree with LaVarne that we don't want to do...
Could you speak up?
Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
A little better.
Can you hear me?
Much better.
Much better.
Okay, all right. I would like to suggest, I agree with LaVarne that we don't want to have too many resolutions and kind of macromanaged there. And I don't mind using the word collaboratively, but if you're a national board member, and I'm on this end right now, and I'm planning a national board meeting, if you haven't contacted me to say when you're going to be here, for example, and what days you're going to stay, and the questions that I've asked, to contract with the hotel, that's a clue to the problem that somebody might have to motivate the national board, for example, or the LSBs. And I don't mind saying that we expect the GMs to provide the first step. And just because the GMs take the first step, I don't think that means that we're asking the LSBs to rubber stamp. Sometimes it's really, really hard, and you have to actually have to threaten and all kinds of things to get the LSBs to do things. And I think the budgets are too important to take the chance that we would just expect the LSBs to take the initiative, because I unfortunately I think, well, maybe it's too soon to tell, but I don't think that every LSB has taken the initiative as KPFK has. So that's where I stand on this. So right now I guess I would say I'm for Lonnie's resolution, but don't mind you putting the word collaboratively in there and maybe tweaking it a little bit. Thank you.
Patty.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, I cannot tell which one if I'm toggled on or not. Okay, a couple of things. First of all, of course, different boards of finance committees across the network are, you know, qualified or not. Like ours, the finance committee, anybody and their brother can be on it, and they are. And we only have like a couple qualified people that know any kind of numbers or anything like that. But they do, and there are some people, so that's really important that, you know, a few more heads are important, and that the Finance Committee actually feels like it's something, and the LSB feels like it's doing something. Also, because of the situation where the national office takes this 20%, and if the national office is working with the general manager, and, you know, the LSBs aren't really working in there, you run the risk of a budget being formed that suits the national office for their 20% can be bigger, you know, and it's not taking into account. It's like they might push the local station to try to get more money or, you know, work things the way that suits them instead of what might be best for the station itself. So I think, you know, I mean, it's always risky because, you know, you don't know who's qualified, but I mean, there's a lot of unqualified people around the network, so, you know, we just have to do the best we can right now. But I think that the LSBs have to be included. Plus, if they're not included till the end, they can just go, no, we're not accepting it. And then, you know, you have to go back to the drawing board, which at least if they're included along the way, you know, you have a better chance at consensus by the end. That's all.
Marnie.
All right. I, too, agree that we should not legislate too much, and I'm very concerned about how much legislation is coming out of the NFC. That said, let's face it, the reason that this motion is here, Dave, is because of the motion that we passed, and I voted for it, that you presented last meeting, which had to do with the back end of the budget approval process and people feeling that budgets were changed after they were approved and that they had experienced that. So let's be fair. The reason this is coming up now, in my opinion, is because of that prior motion and the fact that many of us felt that it would have become a two-part thing. That said, I see nothing in the wording of this motion, and frankly, it was my thrown-together wording because I didn't get anything formal back from Lonnie. If Lonnie, if you have better words, throw them at us. But I think it caught the gist of it, and there's nothing in this words that precludes GMs from working with LSBs, nothing at all, in whatever stage. But at some point, the budget has to come from the GM, and then it comes to the LSB. And this is still a growing process. This democratization is a growing process. This is only the second year that LSBs are approving budgets and stuff like that. And I will say, and LaVarne will agree with me on that, that yes, the process is running late for all stations. Granted, yes. Okay, so, but we did make great headway just this past weekend at KPFA, where a budget did come through from the station to the treasurer, me, and then there wasn't much time, but we had a quickly called together finance committee meeting. We went over what was there. We pulled together our concerns. Then we presented it to the LSB. I presented it. LaVarne participated greatly. And we came up with things that were major concerns of ours, and those have been relayed to the general manager, and now they will get worked on. Things like, we don't necessarily agree that we should anticipate that listener support revenue will be higher next year than it is this year, or higher than it was in the prior year. And so I think that there are timing pressures. Absolutely, there are timing pressures, and I'll say it right out now. The KPFA budget coming approved from the LSB will not be coming to the NFC on August 26th. LaVarne and I, however, are very willing and happy to prepare to share our half-baked budget, which is in pretty darn good format and all that, and gladly explain where we have questions and concerns. So I think the overall process, as laid out here, is fine. That's it for me.
Lonnie.
Well, I think we're confusing an operational budget with a strategic budget. And I'm not sure that the bylaws allow LSBs to set strategic direction. They're, in my view, to review and approve and make sure that the budgets meet board guidelines along with other issues. You know, rather than get into a back and forth about, well, what if an LSB puts in, you know, we can go with what ifs and, you know, what if the national office or the GM tries to put more money into a budget for the for essential services? That's a what-if question. And what if, I think we can spend a lot of time doing what ifs, but that's not the issue at hand. I think it's a question of accountability. Who is accountable for the budget? I'm hearing some people clearly say the LSBs are accountable for the budget, and then they throw in the word collaboratively. Well, that's not what they really mean. We're talking about who has the final authority at the level of initiation. So here might be some language that works. Just as we do in any committee situation, we identify the person who will initiate a process. So my language would be that the general manager in the job description, remember, we're not working in a vacuum. The general manager has a job description. If we change the process, we have changed job descriptions. We have changed accountability. And suppose the general manager looks back at the LSB and says, look, I didn't put this in the budget. I have no responsibility for it. If it goes wrong, if you didn't put in money, enough money for the electoral process, and you say, well, the LSB has created the budget, not me, then you got a he said, she said. No clear accountability. You can't have that in organizations. That's a blueprint for passing the buck and not getting anything done. My language is that it should be clear that the motion should be that the general manager working with the CFO and the executive director are responsible for initiating the station budget, working collaboratively with the local LSB. I see nothing wrong with that language. It clarifies who has responsibility for initiation. And it's
clearly... Can you restate it, Lonnie? Can you restate it? That the general manager...
That the general manager, working with the CFO and the executive director, and I think it's very important because each one of those folks have a different perspective on a budget, has the responsibility for initiating the budget process. And what I'm doing here is I'm taking out present a budget. If that's objectionable, then maybe a compromise language would be initiating the budget process. And that can include presenting a budget, or it can include collaborating. I think that leaves it vague, and I don't like vague. But the language would be that the general manager working with the CFO and the executive director shall have responsibility for initiating the budget process, working collaboratively with the local station board. And I tell you, I will support a motion in opposition to the one we did last time, because I think that motion is divisive. And this one, I'm hoping, will not be. And that way, we are clear on who starts the process, at least. And I don't believe that it inherently assumes rubber stamping at all. Someone has to be responsible for initiating or starting the process. It's like trying to have a committee meeting when no one wants to convene. You need to have someone convene. In this case, it's convening the process to get a budget started. Then that leaves some room for stations to make variations where they need to. But I don't think we can be vague on who initiates. Suppose general manager doesn't initiate. Suppose no one does. Then this network ends up risking an entire budget. We can't do a budget until the last station has really signed on because somebody fought over who had the right for initiation. So let's be clear about who that is. So that would be my compromise language.
Thank you. Casey.
Thank you. I guess the thing that bothers me the most is that when you legislate this process by saying, you know, who's going to do what and when, you're setting up a process in which people may be left out. And that bothers me in a network that is supposedly supposed to be listener governed and have input from people at all levels. And to me, what it does is it hints at mistrust. And the way trust is built is by getting input from as many people as possible. And our process, I couldn't tell you who initiated the process. We all came together and said, oh, it's going to be budget time. Let's get together. Let's call up meetings of listeners and find out what priorities are. Let's look at what the LSB said their strategic priorities are. Now, with regard to the difference between an operational budget and a strategic budget, I don't know what that means. Every budget is strategic. You can't do anything unless you know how you're going to spend your money. So I just think that that's just kind of clouding over issues, and again, that's more mistrust. So to me, passing a motion that says this is where a budget starts and this is who is in charge is kind of silly, and what it does is it excludes people when what we've fought for all of this time supposedly was inclusion, and it just makes me unhappy to even hear this.
Jane.
I don't have any problem at all with the wording that Lonnie proposed, and I certainly don't have any problem at all with having a very nice specific item in the general manager's job description, because I absolutely think that, I mean, I think it goes without saying that that's one of their primary responsibilities. I think that there's language in our bylaws that implies all this. I can appreciate the reason that you know, some people might prefer to go ahead and put it in writing as a policy. My own preference would be to table the motion, and the reason is because I think that we're saying things that really don't need to be said here, and I'm sure other people disagree, but I think that if the PMB feels that there's a need for a clear policy statement on this, that this committee could be ready to go. I mean, that was really great language that Lonnie proposed. I think that it's good compromise language. But I think that we should try to focus on the policy questions that have been sent to us. And I suspect that this is something that we're trying to fix a problem that doesn't exist. That's my take on it.
Is that a motion to table?
Okay, no. Oh, hang on.
Well, it was almost one. I was saying that was my inclination, but
I'd really like to speak if you'd be willing to hold off.
Fine.
Okay, thanks. I think I like Lonnie's compromise. I think I would like to move it a little bit. I think that, and I hear what Teresa says, I've heard what Jane says, and I think it's clear, at least to me, that the GM is responsible for the construction or generation of the proposed budget. So I think if we need a motion, and I take Jane's point, because we're already through that portion of the process. The portion about what happens after approval is something yet to come, so I feel that was relevant to pass now. But we could wait on this because it's a little while, on the other hand, before it comes up again. On the other hand, as long as we've discussed it, if we can get what we like, why not move it and not have to go over old ground? So I was wondering, Lonnie's reaction to this language, that the station general manager is responsible for generating a proposed budget for presentation to the LSB for approval. The GM shall work collaboratively with the LSB and the national office in developing the station's draft budget. And the reason that I say it that way is in taking Lonnie's earlier point about accountability, his language has the CFO, the ED, and the general manager all responsible for initiation. I'd like to say this is the general manager's job to do this, and they should work with each. As to the initiation, my personal feeling is that the right way to do it is for the manager to meet with the LSB and discuss the priorities at the initiation, but it should be the general manager's right and authority to move the process, and I think that would deal with Teresa's objection, and I hope that would be acceptable. So I'd like to know, Lonnie, what do you think of the station general manager is responsible for generating a proposed budget for presentation to the LSB for approval. The GM shall work collaboratively with the LSB and the national office in developing the station's draft budget.
Well, anyway, thanks, Dave, for moving a little closer on the language, and I agree we're spending more time on this than we should. You know, I think that on a strict job description basis, the CFO has a role in initiating and reviewing budgets. So does the ED. Does the general manager report to the ED or not? The answer is yes. And therefore, the ED will have a role and should have a role. In fact, the ED has in his or her job description clear responsibilities for the finances of the network, and presumably that includes budgets. So I would respectfully submit that the general manager working with the ED and the CFO language be preserved, because those folks are involved in the initiation process, and they all are working collaboratively. So I see no contradiction between the language that I proposed, because the ED cannot initiate a station budget. The CFO cannot initiate a station budget. Only the general manager can, because the general manager knows it more intimately, the operational needs of that station. So I'm arguing that my language really does suffice based on the skills that people will bring to the budgeting process. The general manager knows the operational budget. He or she should initiate. He or she should collaborate with the ED and the CFO, because those two individuals are working from a different take, a different look, a different level of the organization. And I think it is important for any product, however it's generated collaboratively or just before or after the fact, that the LSBs do become involved. Where I have difficulty is where the implication might be, and I'm willing to learn that's not the case, is where the LSBs at strategic direction for a given station without consultation with a GM or anyone else. That I have an objection to. So anyway, what I'm saying, long-winded, is there a way to make the language that I propose work for us and not exclude the ED and the CFO from the language?
I just want to say in response, the bylaws don't refer to CFO or the ED in the budgeting process. They say they're responsible for the spending, essentially, and all the financial operations. I could see how you could imply the budget role, and it's obvious that they have to be involved in the budgeting process. But in the bylaws, the only explicit roles for budgeting are listed in...
That's interesting. And this, every organization runs into this problem. The bylaws are merely the starting point. You have to look at what job duties and responsibilities the board has delegated. That delegation is in the job description. So I think you need to see the job descriptions, what responsibilities that this board, by virtue of those job descriptions, have delegated to the ED, the CFO, and the GM. And I think it's when you read those job descriptions, you see it's pretty clear that the board has made a decision in approving those job descriptions about how the process will go.
Okay, but the key point that I want to raise is the one you've distinguished between the role in strategic planning of the local board and the CFO versus the ED. And the reason I prefer this other motion is I feel that the LSB is essentially the key place where the discussion about the goals and the strategic approach of the station should be taking place. And we do have a problem with the fact that the general manager seems to have two masters in all phases, on the executive side and on the governance side. So Lonnie's made that motion. I want to make the substitute motion that the station general manager is responsible for generating a proposed budget for presentation to the LSB for approval. The general manager will work collaboratively with the state local station board and the national office in developing the station's draft budget. So since we're in committee, these don't require seconds. Are we ready to consider these each, or would people like to discuss them further? I think we've all made clear the distinction.
Well, I guess I'd like a couple comments.
Go ahead, Marnie.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
And, yeah, I hear you, Jane. So, Marnie and then Jane.
Okay. I think I would just assume table this right now. And I really don't know what the point is of the resolution that you're putting up. I mean, why not just forget the whole thing?
Well, I would second at this point because we're getting the hairs splitting so fine it's hard to keep up on the call. I mean, I would welcome tabling this motion. Or right now we're a substitute motion, but I would be willing to table the original motion on the grounds that this is I can't figure out the fine distinction. So,
Jane, I would like to move to table.
Okay, as a motion to table. Not debatable. So, can you call the roll, Casey?
Adelson.
I'll pass.
Allen,
pardon me.
What are we
on substitute?
I'm sorry. This is a motion to table this item. So when it comes off the table, when we consider it again, the substitute and the main motion will be back in under consideration. So motion to table the item.
So just to be clear, that we haven't resolved the issue. We're merely are we going to table to a date certain?
That's a good point. Jane, do you want the table to a date certain or table indefinitely?
Table indefinitely.
Okay, tabling indefinitely. So I have passed. Go ahead, Casey.
Okay. Allen?
Yes.
Gatewood?
Yes.
Heffley?